Welcome to the Six Again podcast, your new destination for all things NRL. Here to bring you everything from team news to best bets are your hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Mutton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into the Six Again podcast, third take. We're freezing up again, almost as the computer's freezing as much as Jared looks as though he's freezing. Pretty cold and gimpy tonight.
Yeah, it's freezing, funnily enough. But Adam's actually frozen right now, so maybe we should start this again.
No, I can hear you. It's just fine. I left Gympie only about an hour and a half ago. We're up there for kickoff again of the girls' rugby, which was awesome. We beat one of the private schools from down the coast, which is even better, in both the 16s and the Opens age division. So pretty happy with that. And this is our round 24 preview of the 2021 NRL regular season. Only two rounds to go before finals. Still lots up for grabs, so really excited to get into that. However, we do want to start another episode on a bit of a down note with the passing of Kyle Anderson. And if you don't know who Kyle Anderson is, he's Australia's highest ranked darts player. It was. I'm a big darts fan. He's an Aboriginal man. And he was only 33 years old and passed away last night. There is no cause of death yet released. He moved to Australia from Nottingham in England. And he represented Australia and his Aboriginal heritage very proudly on the world stage. Some of the best. If you haven't watched darts before, they wear shirts with their nicknames written on the back of them. And his was always covered in Aboriginal paintings, and he was a very out and out character on the stage. He won the Auckland Dart Masters in 2017 and competed in the World Championships from 2013 to 2020, which is the biggest dart event in the world and draws massive crowds. And he made quite a good living for himself despite a very tough start to his career overseas. And I was very taken aback by this because there was quite a few years where every Friday morning, my wife would be woken up at 6 a.m. with me yelling out 180 from the lounge room every time someone, because I'd be up at 5:36 just to watch the Dart Premier League.
All credit to Maddie. She must put up a lot with your love of sport.
Yeah, she doesn't really have a choice, but you know, she does a really, she does do a good job with it. And I have kind of eased off a bit since the kids have come along. I will say that. heart goes out to Cole's family. I will miss seeing him up on the stage. And yeah, I was just a bit taken aback by that. Let's jump on to, so Joel Thompson, a very respected voice in the rugby league community, wasn't a big, I'm not going to say believer in COVID and the vaccine process and all that sort of stuff when it first started, but having been over in England and contracting COVID at the same time as his daughter did within 2 weeks of moving there, and he's seen the impact it's had on England, especially London, and the lockdowns they've had, which Australia hasn't even come close to having, and we've had it. It's harsh to say this, we've had it quite easy compared to the rest of the world. And being in England and that, we've seen up to what 130,000 people have lost their lives to this virus. He's really pushing for people in Indigenous and Aboriginal communities to get vaccinated, and he's using himself as an example, having had the AstraZeneca vaccine and no side effects and all that sort of stuff. So good to see Joel Thompson get behind it and helping out with the NRL campaign. And usually when Joel Thompson speaks, people listen, especially in the rugby league community, due to the respect that he does hold.
Yeah, no, Joel Thompson was really unfortunate when the story came out about him and his daughter contracting the virus and stuff like that. But the NRL has actually put a pretty big push. As we discussed in the last podcast, all the quotes came out, the video came out, sorry, of top NRL staffers, players, and all that kind of push for this back. I think I saw a stat the other day about the doubt about the vaccine. lowering, like the percentage of people deciding that's the right thing to do, it's lowering every month. So hopefully more people get out there and grab it.
6 million people vaccinated in New South Wales alone, which is amazing. Okay. There's only one other real news story that's occurred off the rugby league field this week. And that was a little bit of news coming out that Channel 7's looking at putting forward an offer to the NRL, ARL, for State of Origin, pretty much from 2023 onwards, which is when the Channel 9 deal runs out. And that's for State of Origin alone, sorry, not for the whole NRL. But Channel 7 is looking at taking the State of Origin off Channel 9, as well as getting one NRL game per week. So Channel 9 would have the rest with Foxtel and KO, obviously. Now, Channel 10 hasn't come out and said that they officially have interest, but there's rumours around that they will also be looking in on this. So if you have a three-way bidding war for free-to-air for State of Origin between 7, 9 and 10, now things could get pretty juicy. Supposedly, according to the two journalists, John Stenschult and Jessica Halloran, reference to them, a decision should be made by Christmas by Peter Vlandis and Andrew Abdo as to which free-to-air channel will get the rights to State of Origin for those 4 years.
Anyone who's actually listened to our podcast for a decent amount of time, firstly, we commend you. Secondly, we actually did a big thing on this. I think it's this preseason, so early, like January this year. We talked about, really went in depth about how the TV platforms are handling the, well, rugby league, essentially, the viewing rugby league, how far Channel, the Fox Sports have gone and how much it's left Channel 9 in the dust a little bit, like with the coverage, the presenters, the
camera work,
the what's the expert opinions on Fox Sports are
the product
jumping packaging. Ahead, jumping ahead a bit of Channel 9. And reality of it is that over the last 18 months, that the ARL has been focused on the dollar sign, essentially. That's why they keep playing, because they weren't financially recover from COVID out of this, and then everything's a financial decision. So depending how well Channel 7 wanted and how they show, like how they say they're going to present the showpiece of the rugby league community, which is State of Origin, go a long way, because in my opinion, Channel 9 has dropped the ball pretty heavily on how they've done everything in the last about 3 to 4 years. Like, see, when I was growing up, it was just Channel 9. They had everything. The footy show was going gangbusters and stuff like that. And then Fox Sports come along, and I will admit they've done it slowly, but now they're the premier event of rugby league showcase. And Channel 9 just don't know what they're doing. And it's actually funny. Some of the top presenters in Fox Sports are ex-Channel 9 workers. Matty Johns, Andrew Voss. A lot of those guys. Nathan Highmarsh, ex-Channel 9. You know, a lot of those guys were, well, booted from Channel 9, especially Matty Johns. He was told he wasn't going to get a contract again. So Channel 9 better pick up their game, because other people are coming after him now. And you say Channel 7 are going to put in a bid. When are Fox Sports going to, like, Fox Sports got all the money in the world. When are they going to put in a bid? And that would showcase it a little bit better than Channel 9 would.
Yeah, so a couple of things on that. It's funny, when Channel 9 had everything, they had no competition. They could literally do it as good or as poor as they wanted to, and people had to watch, because the only way you'd see it. Since competition came on board, you'd expect their product to have picked up to keep viewers there, and it's actually gone the other way. I 100% agree with that. I used to tune into State of Origin an hour before it started to look at all the build-up stories and all that sort of stuff. I can't even do that. But Fox Sports do those, and then I flick over to Channel 9 to watch the game. But the reason why Fox can't put up for State of Origin, so what the ARL wants is the full TV rights deal through Foxtel runs through to 2027. So what they're looking at doing is the State of Origin rights run out at the end of 2023. So they're looking for a four-year deal to go from 2024 through to end of 2027, so a four-year deal. So that way their State of Origin and their pay TV deal would both finish at the same time. So you could package them together for the next deal. So CEO of Channel 7, or 7 West Media, James Warburton, has said they're unlikely to blow their brains out, as quotation, to secure the rights. However, it looks as though the ARL will be pushing for a deal in the vicinity of $600 million. So if you look at 3 State of Origin games a year over 4 seasons, plus the 25 games per season, so 1 game per week, I think we worked that out to 112 games. It'd be equivalent of putting up $5 million per game over those 4 seasons. And whether you're going to get the return on that, when we know that rugby league ratings are dropping by season. State of Origin matches have been quite hard to get a read on because we've had a Perth game, a Melbourne game. This year it was a blowout pretty quickly. It'll be interesting, especially over the next 3 years, if New South Wales continue the dominance they show this year, what's going to happen with regards to ratings, because we want to see a contest in State of Origin. Could be a lot of money on the line for a product that doesn't give back, but it is State of Origin and it usually lives up to the billing, the expectation. And the NRL is obviously trying to get some money back from COVID, because we know they're losing, what, $40 million from this relocation minimum of teams in Queensland right now.
Well, it'll be interesting if all 7 get it. So in the a sport by a new their commentary team, the expert opinion, like I said earlier, Channel 7 bought cricket not long ago. And their priority for some stupid ass reason was signing Shane Warne to do their commentary. I think they dropped the ball pretty hard on that
one. Oh, he's all right.
Nah, he's worst commentator. The thing that Channel 9 has in their back pocket for, I think it's till the end of this year at least, is Ray Warren. He's the best commentator. He's the voice of rugby league. If they can find someone who does it like he does, which they haven't yet, but if they can find that, they'll go a long way to helping out, I reckon. Because, like I said, I tune out of it because Shane Warne. Okay. I tuned out. I still love cricket, but losing, and it goes all the way back to when Richie Beno retired from cricket. That's such a big deal. And those kind of players, those kind of commentators retired because they were the voices of cricket. Wayne Warren's the voice of rugby league. The Fox Sports commentators, other than Ray Warren, are better than the play-by-play commentators that Channel 9 have. So
get Andrew Moore off ABC Radio.
Well, see, stuff like that. And that's my point.
He's
just so
good.
Like,
I don't want him to leave the radio. He's such a good guy. He's a play-by-play caller, though.
But that's the thing. They've got to create that voice of rugby league that, you know, that everyone will listen to. Yeah, well, but that's my point. Like, if I had a choice between listening to every Fox Sports commentator and Ray Warren, I'd listen to Ray Warren every day of the week just because of how good he is. Minus the fact the people he's got around him, which a lot of people don't like, but the people like him. So I think that's a massive selling point. Who's going to be presenting the showpiece event for rugby league?
True. I do like, well, I can't do it with rugby league. I do it with cricket. So when cricket's on, I have the TV on mute and I have the ABC commentary on. The upside of that is you hear the wicket fall on the radio before you see it on TV. So if you're out of the room, you can run in and watch it. The downside of rugby league is you're trying to watch it live, but the commentary on the radio is generally a tackle ahead of what you see on TV. So it makes it quite annoying.
And that's a sad representation of itself, that a lot of supporters, and I agree.
Well, the ABC guys are more knowledgeable. They know the game. They know the game instead of the players. They can explain the play better because they have to, because you've got no visual. And they're just more entertaining.
That's sad. That really is.
It comes with the media. People on radio have to be better callers than people on TV, because you've got to explain what you're seeing, not just people's names, because otherwise they...
I get it. I hate the commentary. Like, Andrew Voss, he's funny every so often, but...
At least once a year.
Oh, and when they get players like Steve Roach being the expert.
All right, let's move on. You said this. You said the S word. Who knows? By 2027, it might not even be on TV anymore. It'll just be streamed like everything else, which makes more sense. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Signing news. So this one will probably fly under the radar on mainstream. But the Titans have picked up a young halfback by the name of Charlon Fuller, who's been ripping up the Q Cup, basically. He's 21 years old from Bow Desert. He's playing for the Burley Bears, and he was brought there by now co-captain of the Titans, Jamal Fogarty. Now, the cool thing here is Charlon's played quite a bit of football with Jaden Campbell, who has just re-signed at the Titans for the contract extension, which we'll get to. Now, obviously, these are big words to throw around, but people are envisaging, like, this is how tired I am, trying to replicate the Jonathan Thurston, Matty Bowen partnership.
People do that.
Over on Zero Tackle, there's a Charlon Fuller highlights package. It goes for about 8 minutes. To say this kid's exciting is an understatement. He's a very aggressive runner of the ball, has the ball out in two hands, almost until contact, which is, from what I've been watching, keeping the defense guessing and really keeping them flat-footed. He's got a very decent soft pass, which he sets up off a very good spiral on both sides. Very fast. He kind of reminds me of Cody Walker, but more direct. And he runs with more venom. So picture like a Jack White in running style, but with someone with the skill and the footwork of Cody Walker. And it's hard to get a gauge of how big he is based on these highlights. Almost like a Latrell Mitchell light, actually, would be a way that I'd describe him. And there's not a lot on his kicking game on the package. There's a couple of 40-20s in there. And you see Jaden Campbell pop up for almost every try on the highlight package. So they've got a relationship playing here. It could be a really successful long-term signing here for the Titans if things go the right way. Very interesting. Very, very much worth a watch. We talked about Luke Thompson last episode.
Hey, keep an eye on him. I'm just watching highlights now. He's got that very long-strided, long-legged, with a short trunk build, which is ridiculous amount of power moving on the ground. So watch out for him, because he'll crouch when he steps, go under a few people.
That's a good pickup.
And he'll also have a really strong passing game, because a lot of people don't know that passing comes through the legs, the way you maneuver your legs. If you can position your hips properly, passing, your passes get very, very powerful, despite the fact it's all through the shoulders. But when you're moving your hips when you're passing, it's just a technique that they use. And a lot of guys with that really short trunk but big hips and long legs are very strong passers of football. So watching his highlights, as Adam said, he's got some fucking good highlights in Q Cup. He's got to hope the Titans just don't throw the world at him too early and he actually gets eased into the game, I hope. But we'll see how we go.
Oh, I think that they'll take a similar approach to what they did with Jamal Fogarty. And
debut him at 28.
No. But when he came in, there was no fanfare. There was no... It was more like, who the hell's this guy? And the fact that I didn't pick this up on any real mainstream, that this is going through the stories on Zero Tackle, I'm not sure
if they can pick up a hooker. Gold Coast can pick up a really consistent hooker who's going to play, have a bit of attacking flair, which they had Nathan Peets and Mitch Rain for so long. You combine those two, you've got a hell of a hooker. separated it. You put a decent hooker in there with Fogarty and Brimson in the halves, Jaden Campbell at fullback, and this guy off the bench. It's a very strong, strong rotation you've got there.
Probably the position that they've been lacking since they've started is a hooker. When I still say Nathan Friend's been their best, and not that Nathan Friend's a bad player, but you'd be wanting a higher caliber.
Well, wonder how good Toby Sexton is at hooker. That could be interesting to look into.
Yeah, no, they need it. An out and out. Anyway,
do a Lachlan Croker.
Moving on to Luke Thompson. So this has been kind of to and fro in that we know Thompson's deal runs out at the end of 2023. And supposedly at that stage, he'll be able to look elsewhere. However, Canterbury's also made it clear that they want him till the end of 2023. This hasn't deterred the West Tigers. We mentioned West Tigers, one of the two clubs chasing him, them and the North Queensland Cowboys. Supposedly numbers have now started being thrown around. So if anyone wants Thompson, he's still owed $1.4 million till the end of his contract. So Bulldogs don't have the money now after their signing spree in order to pay all of that for another club to have him. So the other club would be having to take on quite a portion of that, you'd say. So both the Cowboys and the Tigers have been told by Thompson's that he's reluctant to move. And both those clubs have been alerted to the fact that they will have to chip in. Now, that hasn't stopped the Tigers. He's already had a face-to-face meeting with Michael Maguire, and Tigers have confirmed that they've looked at him and talked to him and all that sort of stuff. It's now basically, are Tigers going to stump up the money required, and how much money of that 1.4 would they have to put forward for the Bulldogs to be willing to let him go? They want to keep him, but obviously they're not going to be able to afford it after this deal. So whether they cash in early and look to shift that money elsewhere. There's also now smoke that they may be releasing Kotrick and Allen earlier of their deals, or just not re-sign them based on them not working out for the money that they're on. So interesting to keep an eye on there.
One day we're going to get a news article to say that someone actually wants to go to the Tigers.
Yeah, I don't know when, they want everyone. Who's going to go there? Yes. One person who may go somewhere else is Cam Munster. He's definitely expressed that he would have a desire to play for the second Queensland team, especially if Wayne Bennett is the coach. He also has said, though, obviously he would give the Storm the first option of re-signing when it got to that, considering everything that they've done for him. But he said it'd be a no-brainer if there was an opportunity to play in Queensland for a second team with Wayne Bennett as the coach. That would be very high on his priority list.
So I have a few things on this.
That would be until 2023 when his deal runs out anyway.
Yeah, that'll work out quite well, actually. So last night on NRL 360, you had Harry Grant, and the dumbasses asked, "Oh, well, did you hear about Cam Munster saying he'd be interested in going to Brisbane in 2023? That's a, you know," and Harry Grant turned around and goes, "Yeah, Cameron Munster's unplanned tomorrow." So yeah, he's not planning that. What I would do is I'm going to go to Pierre, and I'm just going to tell a million some ridiculous thing, and then put it on the papers and see how far I can go with it. And that sounds like something Cameron Munster would do.
This conversation came out of Origin camp. It was just...
I get that. And look, it could be genuine. I don't know. But it just seems like someone in the NRL, one of the players in the NRL or whatever, must have considered it. The amount of outlandish rumours come around.
Someone's going to keep Paul Kent employed.
Yeah, so I would honestly reckon that the players sit there and go, what can we get them talking about this time? This could be fun, like taking the full-on piss about it. I reckon it'd be fun. So, and this kind of, like Cameron Munster's obviously thought about it, but there's no way that, you know, someone's, it's just insane.
So I think this is, easily understandable. He literally talked to Wayne Bennett about it in camp. they both talked about it to the press last year, Bennett and Munster. Munster's then re-signed a deal, obviously, but it makes sense for both parties. That's if Wayne Bennett's still coaching. And yeah, we'll see. He still doesn't have a job for next year. That's the one I'm more interested
in. See, the thing about it is that these applications, like the Firehawks, Dolphins, and the Tigers, one, they can't plan a top 30 just because they don't know when they're coming into the comp. And two, they can't talk to players yet because they're not officially licensed. So
this is that means they can talk to players because they're not an official club.
It's like a random guy on the street having a chat. Yeah. Hey, you want to come play for my team in a couple of years?
How do you think the Nepal Donkeys got started?
Mate, you got to... Someone's got to actually get a team over the line before we can start talking about players.
Do you reckon people can pick up who the optimist and who the pessimist is between us?
Nah. Cool. I'm the optimist. I'm the realist.
I'm the optimal realist. There you go.
No.
And you're just the satanic pessimist.
Satanic. Satanic.
Well, you ripped up half the NRL supporter base last episode.
Yeah, no, that was fun. I actually got in trouble. I told my missus about the joke, what I said about Penrith. She goes, "Stop bullying Penrith. You never said a nice thing about them." I'm like, I do sometimes.
Can you imagine what you're going to be like when they're not 10 times better than your team?
Actually, yeah, that's going to be bad.
Yeah, it's going to be horrible. All right, so Jaden Campbell has re-signed with the Titans, like you mentioned earlier, till the end of 2024. He does look like a very exciting young player. He's got more to his game than just a step and X factor. He needs to bulk up, obviously.
Yeah.
Preston Campbell got away with it in his time, Matty Bowen as well. But even since those guys are retired, the size of the players and the mobility of the big fellas has changed. And there will be times where he'll get found out. Even look at what Jason Saab's like, and he's got him for height, but they're both just string beans, and he still gets bullied and thrown around, and it's quite hard to stop big wingers and centers when they run at you. So that's one thing. But the talent is there, obviously. And that's the only new signing outside of the Freddie Lussett loan that we talked about. Did we talk about, actually, Thomas McKayley re-signing with the Tigers for a season? Not sure. No. Anyway, he's re-signed on for the Tigers for a further season. That's a good pickup for them. I mentioned he'd be one of the young props at probably a decent price that I'd hope Manly would pick up if they are going to move to power one. I really think McKelly's got a hell of a lot of talent in there that's not been utilised quite well in his current situation.
You're looking for bull.
Tigers are. Manly are. Jared's
Which I don't think is a bad signing for you. He's got some potential, that boy.
Oh, you said Bullamore. I thought you said Bulldogs. Yeah. No. Yeah, Bullamore, yeah. I'd honestly rather McGailey.
Look,
but I can see Bullamore as well.
There's two teams in the NRL with a substantial amount of back rowers / front rowers that the other teams are going to pick apart, and that is right now the Tigers and the Sharks. Sharks have, you know, Nakora, Jack Williams, Wilton, Magulius,
Royce Hunt.
I think they have a few more. Tigers have Cheekham. They've got it playing the centers. McKayley, you know, a lot of these boys aren't even getting their run in first grade, where they're definitely
Cheekham's. Cheekham's next move will be Super League or out, I'd say.
I don't know. He's definitely
been around for a while now, and he came from Manly, so I don't think we'll buy him back.
No, you guys need someone new. Definitely need someone.
Manly does not need to be in the market for props. We have a hell of enough props at second rows that we
need. You need second rows. I'd look at Luke Garner, to be honest, from the Tigers. He'd be a decent pickup for you.
I just don't want Schuster playing his whole career in the second row.
No, you worry. Forum will break down soon. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah. He's fine. Talking about breaking down, we'll be back with Casualty Ward. All updated injuries from the end of round 23 before the round start of round 24. All right.
Just so everyone knows, Adam just complimented himself on the segue for breaking down.
No, you set me up again. It's a good segue. cover your ears if you're a Parramatta fan. Mika Sivo has been ruled out for the rest of the season. This, supposedly we'll be ready for the start of next season, we'll see, with a ruptured ACL. So he injured his knee in the win over the Cowboys. He'll undergo surgery. And we won't see him back till outside the early rounds of season 2022.
Two teams you want to play in the finals if they make it? Parramatta are going to make it.
Parramatta.
Yeah, and they're going to look like they're going to play each other. So they're the two teams you want to meet in the finals. They're the weakest out of all of them.
Yeah. I don't know. Roosters have had more injuries. They're still playing damn well. Yeah. Regan Campbell-Gillard is on track from a groin injury during the NRL finals. Reed Marnie shoulder, Nathaniel Roach knee have already been sidelined for the season, which we've covered earlier. Roosters injury rows have worsened. Adam Kieran, Dale Copley, two of their stopgats in the back line, have also been ruled out for this week's clash against South Sydney, as well as Nat Butcher. So Kieran's a head knock, Butcher's a knee, Copley's a foot. They weren't named at all.
See, the funny thing about this is they still released Freddie Lussick, even though they can't name a 21-man squad.
Yeah, so I didn't understand that. Good pickup by the Dragons, but I didn't understand for the Roosters. At least he can't get injured for the Roosters. South Sydney have named Damien Cook despite a quad complaint. Altavia Totola has been included, but will need to pass HIA. Dewey will be out for the final two games for the Tigers after suffering a knee injury against the Sharks. Kelma Tuilagi is also finished for the season due to a shoulder concern for the Tigers as well. Melbourne will rest Dale Finucane for concussion. Has he played any games this year? That's right. Yeah, I was just joking. Nelson Sofa-Solomona hamstring needs to be rested for another week. When you have hamstrings the size of his, it's definitely a two-week basis instead of the week by week. News isn't so good for George Jennings, who's facing another few weeks on the sideline with a knee injury. Warriors have left out Chanel Harris-Tavita for their clash against the Raiders after he picked up a foot injury. That's a big call considering the Warriors' final chances are pretty much on the line this week. Penrith will be out. Will be without Matt Eisenhuth. And Xavier Coates has been named by the Broncos after clearing an elbow issue. What else have we got here that's new? Cohen Hess is out for the rest of the season with a bicep strain. Kontrabojevic is back, and I am quite disappointed that Brad Parker is back for Manly. I said it was going to come down to loyalty or winning, and he's chosen loyalty. But we should win anyway. I like my chances more. Okay, on that up note or down note, depending on how your team is faring, we will rip into the round 24 team list. Second last.
You really jumped ahead of that.
I hit the record stop button
before I finish that sentence. First game of the round.
Are you going to watch Newcastle this one?
No, I can't. I got to work. Newcastle versus Gold Coast.
Did I go to this just to shit you off?
No. Newcastle versus Gold Coast. Oh, here we go.
I'm going to the
Gold Coast, $1.85. Newcastle, $1.95. So Gold Coast are favourites for this. Jack Johns is a shoulder.
Is that because of how bad you're playing or how good the Titans are playing, or because they can't tell the difference between both sides? They flipped a coin.
Yeah, flipped a coin.
They're not going to have a balance.
If Newcastle just need to win one of the last two, and Gold Coast need to win both of them. David Clem is out, so he's replaced in the front row, taken by Suwasa. Returns with Brody Jones reversed to the bench. Newcastle won 5-for-5 with Clifford and Pierce in the halves. Kevin Proctor came for training Wednesday's remaining squad up to East Masters, Greg Marju. Toby Sexton is an option for job. Tyrone Peachy listed at 6 match. And the 1-5 to 7 games up again. Obviously, what stands out here is you've got Peachy and Fogarty in the halves. Honestly, this is make or break for Gold Coast. It's a big call putting Peachy there. They're rolling the dice. If he plays a good game, there's a high chance Gold Coast win this because of how dynamic he actually is. If he has one of his off days, Newcastle put 20 points on him. That's how big of an influence he will have on this game. Next thing I do know is...
Do you reckon he's going to make that big a difference in defense?
Yeah. Just the last, like the... If he's off his game, if Newcastle... And then Newcastle shut down the not overly creative Fogarty, there goes Gold Coast attack, in other words. That's how I see that. And I find that a big deal considering where Gold Coast are and where the season is sitting.
So if Adam O'Brien had any sense of fun, he would remove Clifford and put Watson to oppose Peachy at 5'8", and then we just have chaos all over the field.
For Newcastle, I do notice the quality
inclusion
in forward packs compared to Gold Coast. So you've got Jared Wallace, Tino Fasmuali, Kevin Proctor, Bo Fermor, Sam McIntyre with Fifita and Fotoweka on the bench compared to Soasso Sue. I reckon he's one of the buys of the year for Newcastle, but he's going to have a hell of a job shutting down Fasmuali all night. The quality of the forwards compared to both teams, I think Gold Coast have a significant advantage here just because of the injuries Newcastle have. Like you throw Daniel Saifidi and Clemmer in there, probably evens it up. But
Fitzgibbon.
So, yeah. I'll tell you what, have a look at this Jira Momonosa. He had a few good touches last week. He was highly rated before he tore his ACL in preseason. So keep an eye on him. You might surprise a few people here,
that Titans bench is pretty big.
Yeah.
It's like Aaron Clark.
Compared to Newcastle's, where you've got a reasonably small bench.
It's quite interesting because Holbrook hasn't given himself any wiggle room. If the Peachy doesn't fix, there's no one. Aaron Clark's not going to come in and pay 5'8". Mitch Rain won't or can't. There's no one on the bench that will. That's literally, he's the option. He'll be playing 80 in that position.
So that's the thing. It's a very, I don't mind the call. Like it's a confident call in Peachy's abilities, but unless there's a late change of Toby Sexton coming in, which honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. But I actually don't mind it. Like I said, they're, for this game, they have to win. They're rolling the dice. Why not? And we both can't luck his ability, and he's he can play the role well enough. Yes. So it'd be very interesting the back line versus. So you got Kalen Ponga versus Jaden Campbell.
They're like so similar.
I know, but Inari Tuala in the last four games has scored 8 tries.
Yeah.
He's doing quite well, and he's got a bit of potential there, but, you know, the shit has a battle between Brad and Best and Patrick Herbert.
Though. That's the battle I was about to highlight. That's going to be brilliant, will Brian Kelly be looking at, seriously, I've got to run around Kurt, man. Is that all? Let's go. I'd be giving some early ball.
I think if Newcastle can contain the forward pack, again, the halves for Newcastle, I would say significantly better than the halves for Gold Coast, but it's only if they can contain that forward pack. That's all. That's Newcastle's job. If they can hold Fifita, Fasamawali, McIntyre's a great person to have in there. I love McIntyre. I rate him very highly. That's all I can see in this game.
It's hard to see, it's hard to read into who has more on the line here because Titans lose, they're out completely. But if Knights win, they're safe. If Knights can win this, it takes all the pressure off next week because they're not going to be able to move up to 6th regardless.
Mm.
If they win, they'll finish in the final 7th or 8th. If they lose, and you know what? Then things can be all on the line next week because how bad their for and against is. So... But the Titans know if they lose this week, doesn't matter next week because you're out. So
you know what's also interesting for Newcastle in this is that for the last last year when they made the finals, they made it
with a desperate game in the last game. Like it was, I think it was like a 4-point win in the last game of the year last year, and that confirmed their spot in the eight. And then they got rolled by South Sydney. We've never been safe in the top eight. We've always been battling with everything we've done in the last, well, 18 months. Let's put it that way, when we've, you know, been pushing for that eight spot. So it'd be interesting how one Adam O'Brien reacts if we do win this for next week. And the players react, because Newcastle are known for when they're supposed to win, they fail miserably. It's what it's like Newcastle's rep. So I'll be very interested in watching how the boys run out this weekend, because they go out this game, like I said, like Adam said, sorry, they're safe. But
actually, I shouldn't have said if Titans lose, they're not.
Yeah, but it's very mathematically, a lot of things got to go their way next
week. Yeah, they're sitting in ninth on 20 points. Sharks are on eighth on 20 points, and their four and against is pretty much a wash. It's 14 point difference. And Raiders are 10th, and they're on 20 points. But you've got Sharks versus the Broncos, and you give them a pretty decent shot at that game.
I'm actually going to consider Broncos.
I mean, go for that. I'm not, but cool. And you've got Raiders versus the Warriors, who are only one spot below them. So you'd say Raiders, Titans, Sharks, Knights, and Warriors all have a chance of winning their games this week, even though four of them are versing each other. So that's what I mean by saying win and you take the pressure off next week, because two of the teams around you are going to lose. They have to. So
yeah,
right, it's amazing that it's shaken down. It's back to this. See, I've been going the Knights the last 2 weeks, literally based on their halves matchup and the teams that they've been versing. So they beaten the Bulldogs. And who'd you beat the week before that?
Canberra.
Yeah, and they were both quite tight games, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, Canberra, we... No.
Wasn't it?
Oh, no, sorry. It was... Sharks, 16-14. That was a tight one.
Yeah, because I picked you guys over there because they had Trindle and Tracy in the halves. And then I picked you guys over the Bulldogs, thinking your halves would get you across the line, which they did, but they're against two teams that which they did, that's what I said. And but not convincingly is what I meant. Like Clifford was worth however many points to you guys last week with his try assist and conversion kicking. And it was conversion kicking, wasn't it? Just to double check.
Yeah,
cool. So, let's have a look at the Titans' last couple. And they looked at, they had the last couple of weeks. Oh, they went down the Storm 20-34, but put in a really good first half against them. Were absolutely smacked by the Rabbits the week before that. Beat the Cowboys the week before that. And they beat the Bulldogs 34-6, which is more something I was looking at the Knights to do. So,
are you on Gold Coast?
Geez. See, I think I will, because in this one, compared to when you beat the Sharks and the Bulldogs, I think the rest of the Titans team is an upgrade over the majority of the Newcastle team. And now that I've said that, Newcastle are going to win. So,
okay, next game. In Mackay, BB Print Stadium, you've got the Warriors up against the Raiders. Another game that's pushing, like, if Warriors could cause an upset here, that effectively rules out Gold Coast for next week. Warriors are going $2.75, Raiders are going $1.45. Bugger.
That's a bit of a shame that those two games are over so early in the round, considering they're going to have such an impact on the rest.
Josh Curran is in doubt with a short 5-day turnaround after having a head knock. Elise Katoa has been named, but is in some doubt with the footage. Rocco Berry and Kane Evans are included in the reserves, but are unlikely to be late inclusions. Sean O'Sullivan's a new 5-8 for Chanel Harris to beat out of the side for the week with a foot injury. Matt Frawley starts at halfback. So Sam Williams relegated to the reserves. That's pretty much essentially like for like with these blokes. Jordan Rapana holds the fullback spot for now, but Klopstad is likely to make his way back to the starting side for next fortnight. Corey Horsburgh returns for his 2-week stint on the loan to Bulldogs and slots in the bench with Dunavis Lewis dropping out. So this is the...
There's no
the
Ryan beauty, James anywhere.
This is the beauty of the loan system. So essentially, Ricky Stewart went, go to Bulldogs, get some game time under your belt, come back and we'll slot you back in. Really great. But in saying that too, the game I watched in the Newcastle Bulldogs with Horsburgh playing, I actually thought he packed on a few.
Yeah,
he's got he looks a bit bigger. Like when he first started, he was very lean and muscular. He was able to have that aggressive thing. But this game, right now, it seems like he's put on a few, which is probably not good for this day and age in the game that's played. I'm going to pick Raiders in this just because whenever I see Raiders packed against a wall, I always worry about them. And this team's, they're starting to look all right.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. I don't think they are because they could have won that game against Manly last week. And the game that they did beat Manly in, Manly were missing four of their regular starters. They were missing one last week, two last week. And he took Rapana off. And from then on, I felt much safer as a Manly supporter because even though Cookstar was on there and he looked good, Rapana was their best back and he was the one doing a hell of a lot of work. So I find it quite odd rather than interesting that they've gone that. And honestly, I've been trying to work out if he does a change right before full time, kickoff, sorry. If you put Cookstar back to fullback, Rapana to the wing, you'd say Smith Shields would be the one who makes way.
Mm-hmm.
What value does he add to an interchange? And then you look at the reserves. If you drop him all the way back, you've already got Havili on the interchange if you're going to play him. Who then comes on the interchange? You'd probably put Louis on there as another rotating prop to give Tarpany and Sutton rest and give you that flexibility to then put Tarpany and Sutton back at lock if you needed to. I know. I think it's a bit odd selection. Frawley and Sam Williams, if they're such a weak link in this team. It's just they're missing no George Williams there, so right? much. Like they're literally gonna have to run over people to score tries. Because Whiten's not creating anything this year. Hodgson's been a shell of himself, and you don't have Starling to come off the bench. And the Warriors forwards aren't people you're just going to run over after looking at Fenua Blake and Lodge's output lately. I'm worried about Sean O'Sullivan at 5'8". I know Shal Harris-Tavita's out, which isn't ideal. I'm going to go the Warriors because they've won three of their last four and the loss that they had against the Broncos, they actually scored 5 tries to 4 and lost literally based on conversions. I think they're finishing the season better than Canberra are. Canberra had a mini revival a couple of weeks ago. They beat the Eels 12-10, lost to the Knights, beat the Dragons, lost to the Storm, lost to the Seagulls. So they got the Roosters next week. Yeah, I'm going to go Warriors. I think we're going to go 0-2 against each other this week.
Awesome. All right, next game.
Should be a match around.
Roosters versus Rabbitohs. Very interesting how Rabbits back up. Return serve from this back up. Yes. Takioho head knock will be monitored for this game. So as Adam said, Kieran Butcher out, Copley out. So the back line's looking like Tedesco, Daniel Tupou, Lachlan Lane's going to play in the centres now. Joey Manu and Brad Abbey on the wing. Drew Hutchison and Sam Walker in the halves. The four pack still looks half decent. You got Maria Hargrave, Sam Verrills, Takioho, Egan Butcher, Satili Tupanoa, and Isaac Luke. Amazing
it's the interchange in reserves.
I know. I get that. But imagine how good Egan Butcher is. And he's what he's probably fifth string, second row for these blokes. That's impressive.
I suppose he's a better butcher over the two.
Yeah. So, you got Ben Marsh, Nafeu White, Fletcher Bacon, Ben Thomas, with up against Benji Marshall, Jacob Hose, Tavita Totola, Harmo Sally. So I would put some money in that Benji Marshall has played more games in the NRL than what, at least 13 of these Roosters played in their entire career combined. But you know, is what it is. For the Rabbits, David Cook has a quad concern. Benji Marshall going to the jump straight into hooker if that's the case. And Junior Satola passed a head injury assessment, but will need to go further tests. He's been named on the interchange with Thomas Burgess, named to start. And Liam Knight is named on a reserves list.
No, I don't see any reserves of either team coming in.
No, I don't, but, you know.
Outside of the Damien Cook.
Happened.
Cook.
For this game. Oof, Jesus. Sydney Roosters, $4. South Sydney, $1.25.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd get much for the Rabbits. I've got Rabbits 20+. Tedesco's amazing. We saw what he did last week. That was also against the Dragons.
I'm going Roosters.
Rabbitohs do let in points, but they got off to a fast start against the Penrith side, who put in their best performance of the season, according to myself. I don't see the Roosters doing that. It's gotten to the point where they're just so decimated that I look at that entire forward pack and be like, who's going to do anything? But running into Tom Burgess and Mark Nichols, Mark Nichols being one of the best defensive forwards in the league. And Satili Topanua is brilliant on an edge, but he's coming up against Jai Arrow now. He's not coming up against freaking Ewan Aitken. Especially the Rabbitohs, if they want to start being taken seriously, they've got to start beating these top teams, and they haven't done it yet, and this is their best opportunity to do so.
I'm going Rabbits. Roosters, so I reckon South Sydney are going to struggle after what happened on last week.
Yeah, well, last time Rabbitohs got belted, they went on a 12-game winning streak, and Roosters have won 6 of their last 7, and their loss was against Penrith. And that was coming on after being belted 46-0 by the Storm. That's Bulldogs, Cowboys, Knights, Eels, Broncos, Dragons. All teams you'd expect them to beat. They've beaten all them. The teams that have been better than them on the ladder, Storm and Penrith, they've lost to. So, yeah, I'm going Rabbitohs in this one.
Okay, next game. This will be actually reasonably shit. At Brown Park in Rockhampton, Dragons versus Cowboys. Odds on this one are $1.65 to Dragons, $2.25 to the Cowboys. Adam's going to lose his shit with what I'm about to say. Ravalawa has been named to play despite failing the HIA. Anthony Griffin made a few changes. Tyrone Sloan is playing at fullback.
I like it.
Covering for Matt Dufty with Blake Lawler returns for hand injury at prop. Freddie Lassick is on the interchange bench and he'll be sharing the hooker duties with Jaden Sullivan. Here we go. Jason Tamalolo needs to tick a few boxes, according to Tom Payton, but he's been named at prop. Kyle Felt, Murray Tulagi are both expected to play and a big boost for Todd Payton. So in this back line, you've got Hamisau, Tebow, Fidale playing at fullback, Kyle Felt, Murray Tulagi on the wings, Valentine Holmes and Ben Hampton in the centres. Jason Tamalolo at prop, Jordan McLean, Ben Condon, Healy and Lukey, and Ruben Cotter in the back row. Jake Granville, Jeremiah Nene, Mitch Dunn, and Griffin Neem, M.A. And, oh, sweet Jesus, their reserves for Cowboys. You've got Tom Gilbert, Dejan Arcee, Francis Molo. I'm going Dragons. I can't even talk about this. This is just... I don't understand.
Have these been the two coaches with the worst selections all season?
Oh, my God. Like, for Dragons, so their reserves, you've got Cade Ellis, Palasa Famsuli, Gerard Beal, and Josh Kerr.
So, can I get this right? They loaned a dummy half from the Roosters to put him on their bench and put one of their most talented youngsters, who plays 5'8", in my understanding, as starting hooker.
Yeah, and they've got Talatar Moni, and they've still got Corey Norman, who's not even going to be there next year.
Jaden Sullivan, right, is supposedly one of the most up-and-coming talented players in the Dragon system. I'm just trying to look up how heavy he is. because I don't know if Griffin.
You're questioning the wrong team here.
No, they're both teams look horrible. Team.
This is just.
Oh my God, my internet's just frozen. Has he looked? Has Anthony Griffin looked at the Cowboys props this week?
Yeah. Tomalolo and McLean
are going to be running at a rookie 5'8" who's playing hooker.
So he's 174 centimeters at 80 kilos.
He's going to be tackling Tomalolo and McLean all day. Good luck getting any creativity out of him.
Yeah, and then you've got one of the best defensive coming out of one of the best defensive structures in the competition. Best defensive player.
I'm staying away from this game with any money. I'm not putting any money on this game because it could go six different
ways. Put it out of the hat. Which one?
Oh, fuck.
Who are you picking in this one? Go Cowboys would be completely different.
All right. I don't care. I'm out of the tipping comp anyway.
All right, next game.
Cowboys can't.
Sharks versus Broncos. Very important game for the Sharks.
This is a really good game by the Broncos last time they played this.
Yeah, Luke Metcalf and Bladen Trimble expected to retain positions in the starting side despite Matt Moylan's returned a success last week. Maween Haroti has been named a replacement for winger Renato Tucker. I love Connor Tracy, but he's not a knock to the elbow in the closing stages win, but the club says he should be right this week. David Mead is on standby for Coates. Anthony Milford will notch up his 150th game for the Broncos before he goes to South Sydney next week. So there's a funny report come out today. Anthony Milford played one good game for the Broncos, and it come out today that he's very open to come back after his one-year contract with South Sydney.
Not to the Broncos.
Yes, to the Broncos.
No, he said he'd be more than willing to come back to Brisbane as a city. So that's where he's from, but not to the Broncos.
All right, so this game, I'm going to pick Broncos.
I had a feeling about this, and I understand there are other things at play, and I know we have a number of Broncos supporters that listen to this, but the Broncos have finished this season playing 10 games straight at home. In front of their supporters.
Welcome to. I'm pretty sure it's like every other year, but keep going.
Like, and I get that we're playing in Queensland. I'm not stupid, but they had two home games in the bye, and then a third home game. So that all makes sense. But then they had an away game against Penrith, home, away. Home, home, away, home. So those away games, that's three of them. Why the hell haven't they been one of the teams shipped up to Rockhampton or Mackay or...
Well, I actually ranted about this last week that they should have gone to Toowoomba.
Yeah, but there's like you've got freaking... Who's playing in... You've got North Queensland playing in Rockhampton. Rocky's not that far.
Broncos stop alienating the Broncos supporters, Adam.
You've got fucking the Warriors have traveled enough to get here. Stop shipping them up to Mackay. I'm like, if there's any way to give Kevin Walters a hand out of the mess that this club is in, it's this. And I think the NRL know it's going to be swept under the rug anyway. But anyway, you're going to the Broncos, are you? They got nothing to play.
Yeah, you
got to
go Cronulla.
I can't have a better team. That's easy to see. It's just the Broncos have been playing kind of good every third week. So.
Oh, no, it's every other team we've gone different. So go to Cronulla.
Better fullback, better wingers. Centers are a bit of a wash, I guess. Halves. Kelly's the best one out of those four.
Oh, that is sad.
Rudolph's playing in a crap position for him. But anyway... Oh, God.
Oh, just get off the fence, man.
They both suck, Sharks.
Get off the fence.
What are we, 0-4?
Yep. Okay, next game.
I have a stronger feeling I'm going to be 0-4 after the first four.
Next game, we've got Parramatta versus Melbourne. The odds for this one are, this could be interesting.
$10. at minimum. You've got
$1, holy shit, $1.07 to Melbourne.
Yeah.
$9 for Parramatta.
That was $1. Come on.
Okay. So in this one, for Parramatta. Jerome Hughes returns with Tui Kamakamika being listed 18th man. So Nicho Hynes finally goes back to the bench, even though every other team he would essentially be their captain. Brandon Smith, Justin Olmo back. Blake Fergo, as we named, return on the wing with a calf injury.
I'm going the other team.
Make a Sivo tear his ACL, so he comes in to replace
him. Don't even bother reading out the rest. Don't.
Okay. You're going to lose. So this game, I think we're both going to agree that Melbourne are going to shit this one in.
You know what's scary? Round 24, Melbourne still haven't had a full strength squad for one round this year.
Yeah. All right. We're both going Melbourne. We're not comparing because we both know what's going to happen. I am happy Keegan Hipgrave's getting a run. But other than that, next game is Seagulls versus Bulldogs. Oh, sweet Jesus.
See, I'm going to this one. I'm taking Addy down.
$1.03 to the Seagulls.
Never been to this stadium either. So this game, I'm really excited. Really looking forward to this one.
$13 to Bulldogs.
$13.
Todd Trbojevic returns. Brad Parker returns.
Am I crazy? Am I crazy for thinking Sully should have retained his position?
Yes, you are. He played like shit. That last defensive play he had was horrible.
At least he was in the shot.
Jake Avarillo is listed on the reserves, but unlikely to be late inclusion. Brandon Wakem finally earns a recall of joining the squad in Queensland for the first time around 6:15. Okay, we're both going Manly on this one. Not even use in talking about it. All Sunday's games suck because next round you've got Penrith playing the Tigers with Tigers do not have Adam Dewey. So this is going to be bad.
Talking about one-man teams. Come on.
Penrith for $1.03. Same as West Tigers going at $13.
All right.
So
I'm going to tip all the outsiders this week. Money.
So Ivan Cleary, if he is out, got Stephen Crichton, Charlie Staines to come at fullback. Brian Toller and James Fisher-Harris return. Holy shit. Pratt Naden and Matt Eisenhoof dropping out of the squad.
Did Naden just get dropped?
Yeah, for Brian Toller.
Yeah, I get that. Crichton on the wing is like the only upside for the Tigers, I guess.
James Roberts is edging closer to return, name on the reserves. Jock Madden replaces Adam Dewey in the halves.
$10 says Roberts doesn't want to be there till next week.
Oh my God. We're both going Penrith on this. So Sunday's essentially a write-off for the entire NRL community.
If Billy Walters wasn't going to the Broncos next year, would he be in over Jock Madden?
Oh, mate, Billy Walters, the fact that he hasn't played at least 15 games this year is an embarrassment to Michael Maguire's coaching ability. It is horrible that this bloke hasn't had more of a run.
Yeah, it's horrible. Some of the final results in the NRL fan poll. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. We haven't touched on that, but Adam will...
No, we touched on it like the stuff like that I'd seen while we voted, but now they're final. Who would you have as your centre, Matt Burton or Dan Gagai?
Dan Gagai.
Who's had a better season this year?
Dan Gagai.
Yeah, I know. He got like 7% of the vote. Burton got like 19 as best centre of the season.
But that's the thing. Like, with NRL community, so what happened last game? That's a
Manu and Olam got 1 and 2. Well, the other way around. Yeah, cool. Olam and Manu got 1 and 2. Do you know who tied his best second row that for Fita?
We spend about 20 seconds on the last two games in a round, kind of show you how much we're not going to be worried about. They have no effect on the finals. They have no bearing on anything. The favorites are going
to
win.
Tigers need to win if they want to stay in with a shot.
No, stop it. But saying that too, Tigers are aiming for back-to-back wins against
We didn't even say that the Storm are going for their record by themselves. That's something big.
21 games in a row or 21 games in a
20.
Row. It is funny that Penrith had their greatest season ever and they essentially came second in the record books for this.
And then that team broke their record the next year.
Yeah, and then it's just gone. With
injuries and...
Yeah. So, and you know what? I'm gonna back my missus up. I'm not having a go at Penrith. It's just really sad for them. That I'll stop it. I don't have a go with them that much. but yeah, so that's the end of the rounds.
Felice Kaufusi playing his 150th game this weekend as well. Feels like he's been around longer than that.
All the social media channels, he's been suspended for 3 years. Also, all the social media channels. Other than that, I don't have much else. What do you got?
Oh, yeah. Just on that, guys. Like when we say rate and review, especially on Apple, iTunes, etc., it helps us get our name out there and we move up the charts and all that sort of stuff. So we're trying to help that along. We've locked in an interview either for tomorrow night or next Thursday night with one of the biggest NRL statisticians up on social media. So really looking forward to that interview. I did actually book it during the Newcastle Knights game, and I know I'd rather be doing an interview, but Jared may, for some reason, want to put his eyes through that pain. That is, no. We may have to postpone the interview next week because there may be less on the line. But, yeah, that'd be really, really interesting. Really excited about that interview. We're not going to drop any names or anything like that, but... look out on our social media. We may put it out there once we've got confirmation on Jared's agenda. And I'll be going to Redcliffe to Brisbane on Saturday just to drive back to Redcliffe on Sunday to watch Manly and the Bulldogs down at Morndale Stadium. We're looking forward to it.
There he is.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio. Be sure to check out Adam's craft beer choice of the week.